I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, flower farmers. Are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. FarmersToFlorist.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability. You can connect with florists. You can get your name out there. You get listed in the directory and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need, and they're not going to just try to sell you 5-gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes. Get signed up. We are still offering a special if it is available. The first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today we are going to talk about smart marketing, authentic branding, and simple AI strategies to help reach more customers without losing that authenticity. And to help me do that, I brought in an expert, Mona, and she is visiting over Zoom all the way from California. I'm located in Minnesota if you're new here. But Mona, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Liz. I'm very excited to share some insights, some of the things that I've experienced firsthand as a solopreneur on this journey. Hopefully it'll help your audience.
Yeah. And, you know, we had a little pre-conversation ahead of time, and ultimately I shared that my listeners, for the most part, love growing flowers. They started a business because they wanted, you know, some extra money, maybe turning it into a full-time career, but realizing that sometimes growing the flowers is the really easy part, and the parts that we need help on are getting the most out of our efforts for our marketing or for reaching customers, or, you know, what things to actually measure. So when I saw your page and saw, you know, what you offer, and yeah, I'm just excited to share a little bit more.
Thank you. You know, I think it's really interesting. You and I, before, you mentioned something that stuck with me, which was the easy part is growing the flowers. And it's absolutely true in any business, because the easy part is coming up with the idea, getting it out, like executing the idea, putting it into place, all that details. You can go and even Google it or ChatGPT it, and you get the guide. But the difficult part is actually selling that product, getting it, making sure that it's out there, people see it, visibility, competition with your competitors. Why should I choose you? So that, I think, is not just applicable to the flowers, because it's completely all across board, whatever you're, even if you're creating a pin, for example.
Yeah. And I do think that a very good chunk of the flower farmers that I coach, they're not just selling flowers. Typically, a lot of them have another product that they're doing. Maybe they do beekeeping and they're selling honey. Maybe they also make, tallow balm is the big hit one right now that everyone's doing with beef tallow. It all applies. Marketing is marketing. Business is business. It's just trying to reach and connect with that customer. I'm excited to, share a little bit of tips. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your backstory and just how you've helped entrepreneurs meet that creativity with strategy, right? Because I think that's the biggest thing is we just need a little bit more of a strategy.
So I think the most important part is when you're starting out or any kind of business, you need to first and foremost understand your why, your brand story. So why is it that you decided to start selling flowers? Why is it that you decided honey was a beautiful thing to share with people? We all have some story that has led us to where we are today. And discovering that will help you have so much perspective. And your vision will become much clearer. I say this because of my own experience. I started a gifting company called Delish in 2018, 19, 18. And I thought, okay, it's beautiful to put an object and a food product in a box. But the reality is, why am I doing that? What is the reason? And so I worked with my business coach, I worked with my mentor, and the story came out 4 years after I had started the business. And after the story came out, our story of being immigrants, finding refuge around the table where there was food, there was design. My mother would curate a beautiful table to make us feel connected to our roots. My father would share stories so we didn't feel like foreigners. So it was all of that that subconsciously I was putting in a box and selling to people. Fast forward, here we are today talking to everyone, and now with AI, there are so many brands out there, and everybody is creating content, and content is marketing. But the problem is, you end up being a generic brand. So, why do I want to come and buy flowers from you, or why do I want to buy honey from you? Because I have an emotional connection, because your story triggered something in me, because. And so it leads to that. And we see, especially with small businesses, there has to be that element of an emotional connection and something that makes me feel like I'm not alone. I mean, if we just look at Oprah Winfrey, why was she so successful? Because she was so honest about her story and she didn't mind being vulnerable. And vulnerability can be our strength.
That's exactly it. Is I actually had an episode, I think maybe 3 weeks ago, as I'm recording this, just about that authentic storytelling. And it's kind of funny. My podcast producer picks out a little piece of the episode to share on social media. And I was so amazed by the clip of the entire 30-minute video, what she chose to pull out of there that I didn't even realize I was doing. And, a lot of people, I have kind of a big backstory. I went from being a nurse practitioner to building this flower farm in the midst of my husband passing away. And it's a very big story. And my students that I have in my online course, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, when I've met with some of them one-on-one, their problem is they're like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to post about. And they're like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, I don't want your life story, but they're like, it's easier for you because there's something for people to follow along about. And I'm like, no, just I know that you're saying that, but there's still so many things. And my podcast producer took this little clip about how I talked about washing buckets. And you could think like, wow, she really is always posting pictures of her washing buckets. But really, if you flip that, what the customer is hearing from that is, wow, she really cares about the quality of the product. She does this thing that she hates doing because she knows it's important and she cares about us as a customer. And so you can have that be a recurring segment in your stories or something like, hey, just me washing buckets again, again, again. And it's that familiarity and that brand recognition. And it can be that easy, that simple to show that behind the scenes and make that connection with your customers. And you don't have to get super personal on it. I mean, not everyone has to take the approach that I have in bearing it all, but it's definitely once you identify a few things, then it's just easier to have that repetition. For me, one of the other things is my open mug club. I always joke, I never use a thermos. I always have an open coffee mug And so multiple times a week. And now there's a group of like five of us that'll tag each other. Like we're driving down the road with an open mug of coffee and like we just don't care. Like it's gonna be messy. And that just shares about our personality, but it's a bit, but it's recognizable and people know that.
Exactly. It's how you stand out and from the competitor. Because unfortunately, no matter how passionate we say we are, and that word I use very loosely about the work that we're doing or why we decided to follow the path that we decided, aside from social media saying that you can do it, it's the fact that we still have competitors. And as this world of solopreneurs and everybody wanting to be independent grows, so does our competition. And it's where we have to say, okay, you know what? Let me step back a little bit and say, how am I going to differentiate myself? And I have to say that we talk about AI, and I started an AI agency called Blue Apples. That's where we help small businesses, medium-sized businesses to use AI effectively. Because today, what's happening, everybody is sitting in front of their LLM, let's say ChatGPT, because it's the most recognized brand. And they're sitting in front of it and saying, you know what? Write me a blog. Because I know that blogs generate content and visibility. Or give me a new email newsletter that will promote my new product. The problem is, you end up sounding so generic that from the first sentence, most people will shut off because they say, oh, this is another push. And there's no
They're
authentic.
selling me something. I'm not
Exactly.
learning anything. They're selling me something. And that's what, it's that give, ask, or give, ask. You have to provide information. And entertainment or something, education, before you ask them to buy anything.
Exactly. Otherwise, you become, last year they were saying there's 4 billion content was produced. This year they're projecting anywhere from 8 to 10 billion. So that's a lot of content that's being produced and pushed on us. But the authenticity is not there. So that's where we can either decide to follow a certain path where we say, you know what, I'm going to stick to what my truth is. And that doesn't mean you can't use ChatGPT. Absolutely, you can. But the first thing is, you have to know who you are as a brand before you sit down and start to use ChatGPT. So then you can say, you know what, chat, this is not what I said. This is not what I want.
Yeah, so what tips do you have for getting started?
Do absolutely sit down and understand with your coach, with a consultant, with whoever. Your why, and your why is your story. And it is, I just worked with someone, a client of ours, about their brand story. She's launching a very exclusive clothing line in London. And I remember we sat on in the Zoom calls that we have with them, or person-to-person calls. You ask these questions that sometimes are a little painful to address, or they're hard, like you just mentioned your story. But then you have that aha moment. And her story ended up being because she was divorced and her entire life being married at a very young age and staying with this man, and he was a wealthy man, he always made her feel small. And the only way she could hold on to her identity was through clothes. So she could get dressed up in the way she felt confident or good about herself and go shopping, for example, or go to the supermarket or go take the kids to school. And then once she divorced, she said she wanted to share this feeling of freedom, of confidence, of this like movement with other women. And not necessarily that you have to be divorced or not, but it became her why. Why did she decide to start a clothing brand? Because there's so many clothing brands out there. And so that's the first advice I give. Do definitely do that. And the second one is understand who your target audience is so you can speak directly to them. And that is something that you can definitely do with a ChatGPT or any other kind of AI platform where you sit and say, because now you know your why. So you say, this is my story. This is why I started this brand. Who am I going to target? Give me the demographics. And there, I think those two become your shield and your sword in this journey. And so you become much more empowered because you do. Once you know your story, I remember when I didn't know, and people would ask me, what is Delish? And I would say, oh, well, you know, it's a gifting company around food, art, and design. Okay, but what does that mean? Now I confidently say, you know what? I share stories that are around the table. And it just so happens that they're aesthetically beautiful. And so you gift it to yourself or to someone else. And so that those are the two do's. Don't definitely just sit there in front of a ChatGPT and say, give me a newsletter or give me a blog. And think just because you were saying my tone of voice is inviting, elegant, and inspiring, that ChatGPT is going to get it. Because it's not. I literally say to ChatGPT to this day, do not use LLM language. And it automatically knows what I'm talking about because words like elevate, ignite, unfold, unleash, these have all become LLM words.
It's funny that you say that because the one word that drives me crazy is actually content. My flower farm right now, I'm working on an email newsletter right now to send out, and it's pre-ordering Easter bouquets. And there's a blurb in there about why I love being a wedding florist and how, we're still taking some bookings for 2025. That's what it is. And my newsletters are informative, but salesy, kind of. I mean, it's really selling a product. And I've had my email newsletter for 4 years, but I've seen it on customers that I'm coaching. And I'm actually creating an email marketing course for my flower farmers because it's so powerful. But I'll see subscribe to get our exclusive content. Like, people aren't, they don't want content. What do you mean content? Like, what content? Like, here's the link to buy the Easter flowers. That's my content. This is not, it's like, use the words that people want to use. Don't say, make sure you subscribe to get all of our content or follow us on social to get our content. It's like, what are you talking about? I just want some flowers, or I just want to come pick flowers at your farm. And it's no, subscribe so that you don't miss out on upcoming events. Subscribe so that you know what we have to offer. Subscribe to stay informed on what's happening on the farm, but not subscribe for content. Like that just drives me crazy because if I'm a customer, I'm like, I don't want your content because I don't want, to me, that sounds like AI produced blogs and I don't want that.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And I totally agree with you. Now that you mention it, I realize that I never paid attention, but it's all out there. And I totally searched my mind to see, am I using it in my businesses?
When you say that, make sure you follow us to get all of our content. I'm like, I don't want more. I think as a consumer, I'm overconsumed. I don't want, like, I don't, that's the last thing I want is more content and more things or whatever. And so, but if you say, because that's not what I'm after, like, oh, subscribe to find out when our next class, when our next Build Your Bouquet class is, or subscribe to find out the calendar for mimosas in the meadow, because we do Sunday mornings where you can have mimosas and pick flowers. Like, that's what I want, not content. Like, I just like, but those buzzwords can make a huge difference. And I think it's because we are so hyper aware of what is made by AI and what is made by humans. And it can be a great tool. And I use it probably more than almost all of my listeners because of my podcast, right? And I'll be honest, ChatGPT is a great tool, but it is a tool. It is not a replacement. And I'm finding, it's but learning how to use it is so important. Taking a quick break from today's episode to share a little bit about my work as a professional speaker. In the next few months, I'm headed to Peoria, Illinois to speak to a room full of insurance professionals with a talk that I call What's the Worst That Can Happen? It's a no-fluff pep talk on the importance of life insurance backed by real life experience. Then I'll be in Western North Dakota a few months later at Fusion Conference, sharing how I built my thriving business by going deeper, not wider, with my customers, showing entrepreneurs and leaders the power of meaningful customer relationships over chasing every opportunity. Then, a few months after that, I'll be speaking at the Forum of Executive Women here in Minnesota, encouraging women in business that it's okay if you don't want to niche down. You can build an ecosystem, a life and business that reflects all of who you are. If your group, conference, or company needs a speaker who brings heart, humor, and hard-earned wisdom, someone who leaves audiences both fired up and deeply grounded, let's connect. I speak both in person and virtually all over the US. You can visit LizFidlerMergen.com to learn more, and I look forward to hearing from you. Let's talk a little bit more about how you directly help people. people if they say, hey, but I need more help with this, or but how can I, you know, is there a training or how to, you know, a tutorial, a course, consultation, or, you know, how exactly do you help people?
Yes, there are different ways. One is we offer workshops. So either half a day or full day workshops where we can do it virtually or in person to walk you through it so you understand. The other way is people don't want to be wasting their time, or they don't want to dedicate their time to doing it. So they just hire us on to produce whatever it is that they need us to produce and implement it for them.
So you host your workshops. That really intrigues me because I am definitely, as I'm building and expanding here on my farm, we're having an event space, and it's a place for exactly things like that. And like I said, I'm starting this email marketing course right now, and I have this vision of small businesses, because I get asked all the time, they're like, how did you do that? Because I have an email list of 3,000 people and 60% open rate. And it's just, but I'm like, I've curated it over time, and it's not one big thing. It's so many little things. And I can see people, 10 people at a time showing up with a computer. And I'm like, okay, here's what you do. Here's step by step how to do all these things. And to me, I think that, yeah, the self-paced online courses, but the workshops themselves. So where do you host those?
The workshops, like I said, it can either be online or in our studios, or we go to the offices of the people that ask us to come and do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But majority of the people, I have to say, are online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy online.
Yeah.
We work with coaches in order to help them. My own personal coach.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's how this all started, is she invited me to speak about it because I was using it so much. And it ended up being something that once a month we hold these groups virtually, and people are open to ask any questions they want. We guide them through what's new in AI, how they can use it effectively to maintain their brand identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's been good so far.
Yeah. So if someone is skeptical, this summer we called it Farmer Florist Bootcamp. So I invited flower farmers here, and we are going to definitely continue to expand on it. But we invited some to teach them how to implement wedding flowers into their current flower farm. And there were a couple of people that are like, oh, AI, oh, ChatGPT, nope. Like, they don't even want to learn about it. And I guess my opinion on it is it's here to stay and it's a tool. So either learn how to use it, or, you know, AI is not coming for your jobs, but people that know how to use AI probably are. So I guess, what are your, you know, if you have someone that's skeptical, or I don't want to use that for my business, or, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a beautiful question, because some of the clients that we've had, most of them tend to be women and solopreneurs. And so they are skeptical, or they think they can do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Skeptical ones, it's holding their hands. So you're a mother, and you know that it takes step by step for them to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest reservation that most people have is, no, it doesn't sound like me. No, that's horrible. I don't like what it produced.
Mm-hmm.
But once you show them this small, it's like a recipe. Once you say, you know what, you can bake the chocolate chip cookies, let me just tell you how, step by step, then you feel more confident and you sit there and you do it. And the most important thing is just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally have nothing to lose. We go and we Google search and we go down that rabbit hole. Do the same with ChatGPT. What can ever happen? And the first question you can sit and ask yourself is, that I always like to start with, is, do you know Mona Bavar?
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on your footprint that you have, your digital footprint. And most of the time it knows something about you if you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it will say this. And then you say, okay, let's expand on that. Mona has founded Delish. Mona has founded Blue Apples. Mona graduated from there. Mona did this. Mona did. And then I say, okay, now from that, it even knows, because my story is out there. So for whether it's interviews or on our website, whatever it is, my story is out there. So it will even say that you migrated when you were 7 years old. You found refuge at the table. That you were bullied, this, so on and so forth. So then you're like, oh, wow. And you start to become friendly with it. And you start to say, okay, you know what? Help me share my story in a more impactful way. And then it may come out wrong, it may come out right, and then you say, oh, you know what, let's backtrack, let's do this, and then you'll get angry at it and you'll be happy and so on and so forth. So it's just about having fun with it.
Yeah, and that's, utilizing it to, help me, maybe it's help me come up with content for this month or this week or this, it's not writing the content for you, but maybe it's just, coming, or sometimes I'll just brain dump into it and here's some ideas for posts and here's the flowers that are blooming right now and help me come up with a, social media schedule for the next 2 weeks. Just easy. And it'll say, on this day, make an inspirational quote. On this day, do that. It's just, and it's, usually I have a little bit more of a long-term strategy or, it's built around what I have going on. But sometimes it's like, there's this lull and I'm in between, the two paths I have, and I just need something. And otherwise I sit there and can waste all this time scrolling through social media for inspiration or whatever and calling that marketing, and that's not marketing. Or just, behind the eight ball and just, okay, here, buy. And then all of a sudden you're getting into this buy, do this, do that. Here's my flowers, come buy it. It's like, nope, there needs to be a strategy behind it.
Exactly. And I'm really happy you said that, because for ideation, ChatGPT is fantastic. Fantastic.
So Mona, do you have a prompt or, something that people can utilize to help get started?
Yes. So last year I did something really interesting, which was there was this viral prompt going around that you could say to ChatGPT to finish the year, tell me about, I did this, this, and this. Because what ends up happening a lot of times is we don't realize the milestones that we've accomplished. And in one of these entrepreneur organizations that I was in, part of their accelerator, they have this thing called the lifeline. And it's where you, it's just like a chart, like a horizontal line and a vertical line, where you plot the good and the bad of moments of your life. And bad, we say like things that happened that made you change. And so last year, what I had done is, based on the Jungian archetypes, I, for this business coaching group that I'm a part of, I had done every month an archetype around business. I personally was using chat AI to do this, ChatGPT. And then when the year finished, I gave everyone that was following and up to date with all the archetypes this mother prompt that gave way for the new year. So then this guide, I created a guide around what had happened last year, and there's a mother prompt on there, and I like to call it the mother prompt because it is a power prompt. And I think this is a great way to have fun with ChatGPT, and it's really beautiful. You type in and you say, last year I did this, this, and this. This you have to list for yourself, the good, the bad, all of the milestones that you had. So you take a moment to reflect. Based on all of this information, all these milestones, I want you to design future goals for 2025. Now we're in 2025, but you can do it because you can say from now on, let's say from April on, give me monthly guide on how I can achieve, and then you list exactly what it is you want to achieve. You say, I want to be, I don't know, I want to make $10,000 a day, for example. And last year I did this, this, and this. My reservation or my limiting belief is that I don't have the talent, for example. And so you have to write this all out for yourself. And then it says, after you do all of that, give me this in a story format. So it's almost like visual projection, like a visual verbal vision board. So it, you've said all your milestones that you accomplished, let's say from January until March. And you say for April to December, I want you to, these are my goals and desires. Based off of this, give me a plan that is not only a professional plan, but also a personal plan. Because remember, in your milestones, in your chart, you are also listing the things that happen in life. So maybe, I don't know, I had to go to the hospital because my knee gave out, or my boyfriend broke up with me, or I got a divorce, or whatever it is. These things also, I gained 20 pounds. So you put all of those in there as well, and you say, make sure it's cohesive. They all merge together. Because at the end of the day, the journey of an entrepreneur is also a self-growth journey. And we all know this, because the ups and downs They shape us, they break us, they reshape us, they break us again until we become this powerful statue that is going and going and going, and then there's still room for expansion. So that's the prompt I recommend you do. And that's a great way to have fun with it.
Yeah, and and that's the thing that people, they have no idea that those are things that you can do with ChatGPT. I've used it for, I have a book coming out in March of next year. I have a publishing contract. I'm really excited. I thought I was going to have to self-publish it and ended up having some people believe in me, and there we go. But I am going to hire a PR literary publicist. Because I realize that with the amount of time and resources that I have to do this justice, I'm either going to have to pay people to run my business while I market this, or I should just pay an expert at marketing this so that I can run my business and do what I do best, right? But I still have created on ChatGPT kind of a general, okay, what should I be doing? And even right now, 1 year before the book is coming out, I'm trying to get on other people's podcasts. I am trying to, like, what are those things? And those are all ideas that ChatGPT has given me. Like, okay, so start doing this, start doing that. And it's, again, it really can be utilized just as a tool to organize. And sometimes I'll type in, here's what I have so far, expand on this or give me more ideas like this. But yeah, I definitely think that your information can be very, I do feel like the majority of my listeners on the podcast are probably thinking that, yeah, it's great if you have a podcast or a blog, but it can be utilized so much for your retail business, in business, and just organizing things and save time because it's expensive to hire humans to do this stuff.
Exactly. And we're always bootstrapping.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. You get real scrappy, real scrappy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where can we find you, Mona? I'll put your information in the episode notes, but where can they find you on social or your website?
Me personally on LinkedIn for the gifting, we're delish.us, and for the AI agency, it's blueapples.ai.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Liz. It was my
Yeah.
pleasure, really. And I
Thank
would
you.
love to hear your story one day. I
Yes.
don't have a podcast yet,
Yeah,
but if I do,
that's.
you will be one of my first
It's
guests.
awesome. Thank you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.